Hello and welcome to the Dancecast, where I explore dance as an art form, traveling to non-traditional places and with non-traditional doers. I'm your host and my name is Silva Lakkonen. Welcome to episode 11. In this episode, we continue talking to people who create such specific dances. And I'm talking to Dale André, who I actually met for the first time in Phoenix at the National Dance Education Organizations Conference, which is happening here in Texas in San Antonio this year. And the theme for the conference this year is equity and accessibility. So check them out. I'm going to have a link on the podcast as well. But you can Google National Dance Education Organization and find the whole conference listing there. It's really quite an amazing conference and you meet really amazing people like Dale, who is the founder and director of National Water Dance. Having first conceived and directed Florida Waterways Dance Project in 2011, she created the national event in 2014, deepening her commitment to arts and the environment. Dale teaches in the dance and theater department of New World School of the Arts in Miami. She has directed her own company, Mary Street Dance Theater, as well as creating the children's improvisational dance company, the Good for Something Dancers. She's a Knight Arts recipient, has twice been the recipient of the Florida Individual Artist Fellowship, and has received multiple state, regional, and federal grants for her choreography, as well as grants from the National Endowment for the Arts and the Fund for Artists at international festivals. Her interest in site-specific work has taken her from the streets of Paraty, Brazil, to the Adrian Arsch Performing Arts Center in Miami, to the tidal flats of Maine, where she created her first dance for camera film, Between Earth and Sea, which has been shown in film festivals in Miami, Oklahoma, and Portland, Maine. She's a graduate of the Boston Conservatory of Music and received her certification in Laban Movement Analysis from LIMS in New York City. She was really a joy to talk to, and I hope you can, well, you can hear it in her voice. So enjoy episode 11.
Oh, you can't?
No, did you unclick did you open up your video?
Yeah, I can see you and I.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah, I can't see you. But that's not as important, I guess. Weird.
Maybe if you go to Skype and preferences, maybe there's something with the video that is not set up.
So you have your video open, right? No, I just do Skype the other day.
Okay. Yeah. I can see you and myself.
Okay. And so all the little icons at the bottom are working. Yes. Oh, there, I see you.
Okay. Hi.
We're good. Hi.
So nice to have you with me.
Yeah, nice to see you.
Yay, I'm so happy. We figured so many obstacles on the way, even the technology ones and the scheduling ones. I mean, that's well done, right?
I would say so. I think we're good.
Oh my gosh, Dale, I'm so excited. I was reading about you and I didn't even realize what all you do. You do so many things.
Oh, well, thank you. I guess I did, you know, like everybody else, right? I mean, don't we all have a list of many things that were involved, and seems like everybody's world is so complicated now.
It's true. Well, that's true. Yeah. Yeah.
And even more so now. I mean, I mean, everyone trying to be activists as well, right?
I know. And we must.
Yes.
Yeah. We must. I don't even know where to begin this interview, because like there is that creative movement children's dance company that you have, then you have your own dance company.
Oh, I don't anymore. I did.
Okay.
I no longer have those. I'm sort of actually, I'm starting a new phase of my life. This is my last year of teaching at New World.
Okay.
And I just got a new 501c3 a year ago, and which is actually producing National Water Dance, but I'm doing more of my own creative projects. So my new title is you know how they determine, you know, established artist, emerging artist. So I am a re-emerging artist.
Re-emerging artist. I love it. Yeah. Did you submerge at some point?
Well, it just, you know, I mean, what I do at National Water Dance, what I do at in Miami is very creative, but it's also very much about organizing the creativity of everything. And it's, and then I've been at New World for so long that the things I've created have mostly been at New World. So now I'm going back to my own independent choreography, and that's the reemergence.
That is interesting. I love it. I think I'm like hoping the other way of merging from the not the freelancer and the individual, but under like some umbrella, please.
Yeah, it is very, it's difficult. I mean, it's difficult no matter what.
Yeah. Yeah. But tell me a little bit about the Good for Something Dancers. The Kids Dance Company.
Well, that hasn't been, I mean, that was, that our last performance was in like 2008. So that hasn't been happening for quite a while.
What was it?
It was a children's improvisational company. I started when my daughter was very young, and we had a small group, and they continued on. And at one point, you know, it's like we were meeting a couple times a week, then a few times a week. And so it's like, let's name this group. And the kids were shouting out, oh, we're good for nothing. And so I was like, hey, well, we'll make you good for something. And that came about. But it was all based on improvisation. So that's where, I mean, my daughter is dancing with Kate Weir now in New York, but her beginnings were with improvisation. And I just believe so deeply in the benefits of that, as opposed to immediately being, and I don't want to use the word forced, but, you know, being put into a construct that someone else has created for you, you know.
Oh, I know exactly what you're talking about. My daughter has been asking, my middle daughter has been asking me to take her to dance classes for long. And, like, she was an amazing improviser. Amazing. You know, I'm sure all mothers say this about their daughters or kids in general.
Also, as a dancer, see things.
Yeah, and like I was like, she, her use of level and timing and like still, and like just like what a creative child I have. And she wanted to go to a dance class, but I felt like I can't put her in an environment where there's a right and wrong when it comes to movement, because I didn't want that idea to get inside her creative mind.
Right.
So it took a long time to find the right place, but I think I have found it in here. I'm really happy where she is. She's really happy. Oh, so that's I know exactly what you mean with that.
Well, it's just so interesting because, I mean, my daughter's worked very hard to get where she's at. She's, I mean, she's an incredible dancer, but she wasn't one that everybody just pulled out, you know, and singled out. She had to work really hard for it. But the thing she's always had is a sense of herself in space and relationships. And it's like she knows there, she knows something about her own body within all of that. And that is harder to get to when all you know is what someone else has told you about where you should be, you know?
Definitely.
I haven't been such an educational advocate except to do my small little bit with this group. But I feel like, wow, what a difference that makes when kids really grow up with that ability to move freely.
Yes.
And occupy space, you know?
Yeah, and I, you know, I use this a lot when I teach in school settings, because they often, you know, emphasize on like, don't bump into anybody's body. Don't. What I always say is like, let's look for an empty space. Like, don't look for the other bodies. Look for the empty space. Like, become aware of the space where you belong, and you can insert your own body. So I love that idea so much that you created this entire space for your daughter to like. For this empty space to become what she is. I love it.
Yes. No, and it was wonderful. It was a great little group. We had as many boys as we had girls. And it was just a wonderful group of kids. That, you know, when you watch kids move like that, their awarenesses, their choices. I mean, it was a lot of fun.
Exactly. I love the word choices. That's, you know, when I watch them dancing in the kitchen, and I just love the choices that they make.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, I just finished teaching. I teach Laban in the school where I'm at. And we were working, I don't know how much you know of Laban.
I went to Laban in London.
Oh, okay. So we're working on the diagonal scale now, which is, you know, it's a very scale. So watching them really, and these are very good dancers, but they're good dancers in a way that they know their patterns, they know, you know. So watching them work on the scale and you watch them think and watch their bodies change in the process of trying to find all the shaping that goes into it, it just mesmerizes me. You know, I love that even more than just watching them devour space in their own way, because all of a sudden there's this incredible intersection of mind and body, because they're really listening to their body and thinking and working to get to these places, and it's very exciting.
Wow. Yeah. My gosh. I'm just smiling all the time because I love to hear you talk.
Oh.
So what was the Mary Street Dance Theater? You said that is also history, but
that's history. Yeah. When I left New York, I came down here actually to work with a company, and I wasn't really that satisfied with it. I thought I was going to, with living in Miami, I thought I was going to leave. And then serendipitously, one of these situations, I got invited to teach in Paris for a year, because a woman who had a studio happened to come down here with her sister and brother-in-law for cancer treatment, and she needed a teacher, and she stopped in the studio where I was teaching. So I got to go.
Wow.
That was wonderful. I got to teach in Paris for a year, but I had met my future husband while I was down here in Miami. And I didn't feel like I was going to be an expatriate in Paris, so I had cut my ties in New York. I came back to Miami. And at that time, slowly started my own company, which was Mary Street Dance Theater, because we had a space on Mary Street, an old yoga temple
We
were out of to begin with. And I had that, I guess that was incorporated like in 1985, and I really took that through to 2001.
Huh. Interesting. And when did you start at the New World School?
I started there in the 90s. I kind of came and went, but I've been there now consistently. I don't really keep track, but, you know, how do you keep track of that? You know, at least for like, I guess, 15, 17 years, something like that.
Wow. Amazing. And then in 2011, you did the Florida Waterways Dance Project then.
Has then
start changing your career, right?
Yeah, well, I got my CMA late. So I was at a point teaching at New World and thinking about what I wanted to do next. And did I want to try go and get my master's? But I mean, I was older, and luckily the dean that was there is a good friend. And he said, well, why don't you try to just go deeper into something you're interested in and get certified in that? And Bill Evans came and happened to do a residency at New World. And I was assisting him with the piece he was creating, and watching him teach the Bartenia approach and Laban that he works with was like, this is what I do, but I didn't have language for it, you know? So then I went and got certified, and I was inspired by Mary Lee Hardenberg's movement choirs. And that's what got me started on wanting to connect the state of Florida through the arts and education programs through the waterways, and that was just so satisfying to all of us that were involved. And then I took it national, but then water became the focal point, as well as our arts and education. And the idea that, I teach in a conservatory environment, and the kids have such a narrow perspective on what their future can be. So it's like I've always done site-specific work, but the idea that not only could it be site-specific, but you really can have a voice and affecting social change. We can be involved. We don't have to leave it up to visual artists and musicians. Dancers can be out there on the forefront. So that was what sort of galvanized this thing, to give those young dancers a perspective that was broader than they had. And so now we're reaching, what's exciting to me is we're really making an effort to reach professional companies now too, and then go beyond the arts and education programs into the community. So last year in Miami, we had professional companies, kids from arts and education programs, and then one group of kids, learning disabled kids, that were just in a after-school dance program in their school. And the comments we most got from the audience was on the two ends of the spectrum.
Oh, wow.
Watching the focus of the untrained dancers, and then the technical ability of the focus of the professionals. They love the whole thing, but that it was the ends of the spectrum that people commented on. And that just kind of gives me chills because I feel like, you know, those are the bookends for everything that falls in between.
Yeah, definitely. And this is how the National Water Dances was born, right?
It was born from the idea of expanding horizons for young dancers, and then it encapsulated water and said, this is our mission.
I see. And you had, last year, you had an integrated dance company in it as well, right?
Yes, that was the company that was working with the children with the learning disabilities.
Oh, I see. Oh, that was, I seen some pictures. So tell me a little bit about what is National Water Dance? Mission, future, past, today?
Yeah, well, you know, as we're going into our third event in 2018. And so, like I said, we've reached out more toward professional companies this year, as much as everyone else, but trying to reach the ends of the spectrum. And also looking, making even more of an effort to connect with environmental groups. I would love to have everyone's independent in that way. So in Miami here, we are, you know, climate change is huge. But I didn't want to put that on National Water Dance from the beginning because I didn't want it to become a political issue because there's many different kinds of schools involved. But I'm definitely speaking about it now from our perspective, but people can come to whatever their issue is according to their location. But and I've worked through Miami-Dade College with Earth Ethics Institute, and I've definitely had connections with environmental groups, but I'm really trying to find someone that can be our partner, you know, that we really can be sort of endorsed by them, that we can have an impact on what they do. And that's one of the harder parts of this. You know, I feel like what we have done has definitely had an impact on the participants and sometimes on the audience. I don't know how to measure that, but yeah. I'm sure, you know, but I'd like to be able to maybe get some more concrete, results of what each event could be. How do we take it to the next level without losing what it's about, without losing that it's about bringing dance into the environment, trying to speak through our bodies, but then what's the next step? So that's an ongoing dialogue we have.
And it happens only bi-yearly, correct?
Yeah, yes, because we have a lot of returning people. It's also a lot of work to keep going and even raising the funds. And what I've done in Miami has actually been a really large event. So keeping that going. And then I also have collaborations within the state. And then the national. So it really feels like it needs 2 years to make it happen.
So it's one of those things where several locations does a dance. Is there a guidelines when you create a dance?
How it works. Okay. Uh-huh. Yeah. So how it works. It works. It's based on, I don't know if you're familiar with global water dances or not.
I did read a little bit about it on their side.
Well, the interesting thing is when I started Florida Waterways Dance Project, I called Mary Lee Hardenberg to ask her for some help. And so she really mentored me through that. She's just a wonderful woman. And the interesting thing is that when I started that, she said, well, I'm working with a group of people right now that are working on a global water dance. So it was serendipitous that it was just happening simultaneously. But then they immediately went to, I guess, do they do it every year or every 2 years?
They are doing one this year at least, so.
Yeah, they're off my schedule.
I see, okay.
So because it took me an extra year to get the national one going, it was lucky we're just off.
Okay.
So I do global water dances too. I've done it a couple times. I'm going to do it this time up in Maine. But so what am I saying? So the way fire is created, and the way she helped me organize this is, every site is, we ask them to send a movement phrase that's inspired by their site. And I collect all of those phrases and then edit. I mean, some give me very long phrases and some people just give me a gesture, but then I edit out from those and put it into one long phrase that we post on the website. And everyone's invited to use as much of that as they want or as little, as long as they start with the first gesture and end with the first gesture. Global water dances really ask people, I think, to learn their whole phrase and use it, and even the music. And I don't do that because I've never actually done that even for global water dances. I don't like to be directed like that. So. But the fact that when you see our video, you see repetitive phrases over and over again. And it's the first gesture and the last gesture that we ask everyone to use. And then the length is up to them. The extent of involvement with community and collaboration is up to them. So we had 100 performers, and we had poetry in the schools and all kinds of things. But we've had 3 dancers by a stream. To, you know, somewhere else in the United States. So it's up to resources.
Yeah. So if I would say Body Street wants to do water dances, national water dances this year, I would email you a phrase. Or I would probably get in touch with you first, right?
Yeah, get in touch with me and join the website, because on our website, if you've gone to the website, there's a lot of stuff that's available to look at, but in order to go onto the stream, you have to join. And that's, to protect the kids that are involved too. Mm-hmm. So one time we opened it up and it was just so spammed, which is really interesting because it was all Asian calligraphy. So I don't know why, but everything that was coming in was, I don't know if it was Chinese or Japanese or what, but it was all this weird stuff. So we keep that private. And then the website's not as active as I wish it could be. So we're trying to find ways to get people to be more interactive. But we did a Facebook group this past year, and a lot of people were posting on that, which is nice. But the idea of the stream on the website is to just share more of our process together. And we've got to figure out how we can make that a little bit more interactive. But so you would join and then and create a group so we could list your organization. And then we start putting out more emails starting in the summer once we know who the participants are. And we give a structure of possibilities, like, you know, how to connect with environmental groups, or if you're part of an institution, a university, just making those connections, some suggestions. And then we'll ask then for a phrase probably around, depending on how many participants have come in, October, November. And we'll ask for it by the end of December and then post it beginning of January. And then it's one thing after another from there on.
And when is it happening exactly in 2018?
April 14th.
April 14th. Is that day, does that day have any influence or significance to it? Is there a reason it's April 14th or just...
It's just the best time within the institutional structure. So some schools end early, so later in April's no good. We can't do it earlier because of the far northern states. So that's about where spring is happening around the United States, and people are still in school.
And so you're encouraging not only educational settings or academia to take part, but independent dance companies.
Yes.
Is it also for non-professional dancers?
Yes. Yes.
So it's really, this site-specific work is really open for all.
Yeah, we just haven't had, I haven't reached out individually to groups of people that want to move but aren't involved in dance in some way, you know, either through schools or profession. But it's totally open. I just don't have necessarily access to interested movers, so... but that is something, you know, if they come to us, we encourage it.
Yeah, exactly. So you welcome everybody to get in contact with you.
Yes.
That is wonderful. Yeah. That is wonderful.
We live stream it too. So we give that information to everyone. We live stream it through smartphones.
Awesome. So all at the same time?
Yeah. Yeah. So if you go under, I think both 2016, 2014, you can see the live streaming. So it's crude, you know. I'd love to have some money to find some way to make that. And I don't know how we would do that, because it's not just the technology of how it comes in. It's how you actually, I guess, pick up the image. And right now with a smartphone, anyone can do it. But it's fun because you really can just get glimpses of all of these people all over the country. And because we just do it through Google Hangouts.
I love the video that is being edited that shows different locations. It's gorgeous.
Oh, that video. Now that's, so we ask both for the live streaming and then someone to also video so we can get that video footage. And then that's edited by Lynn Wimmer, who is a dance. Oh, could you just hold on one second?
Sure.
Excuse me.
So that's my next question is, what does your team look like? You probably have some other people working on the national dance, water dances with you.
In Atlanta, Kristen O'Neill, who danced with me when I had Mary Street Dance Theater and has gone on with her own career of teaching and performing and everything, she's the outreach coordinator, so she helps a lot with reaching out. She's been helping so much with reaching out to professional companies because she also works up at Bates in the summertime.
Okay.
And then she's also... she helps me in emailing and staying connected to the participants during the process. And then I have a woman, Maria Elena Rodriguez, who was working with me here more on the social, on the website and the internet aspects of it. And she just moved to Puerto Rico, but we'll be connected in that way again. So I am an island here.
Aww.
Just, internet friends. You know, whatever thoughts you have and want to share with me on how to reach out to more groups that would want to be part of National Water Dance would be great.
Well, hopefully this podcast will also reach a lot of people. I know we have listeners all around the world now, so hopefully...
That's wonderful. So we can do a little pitch at the end. Please contact.
Yes. You can do it. Do it right now. Do it right now, Dale.
Is this actually...
No, it's not the end. No, 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 no.
No, but I mean, the podcast is you're editing our conversation.
Yes, I am editing our conversation.
Okay. Oh, absolutely. I'm inviting everyone who wants to move and dance with us for April 14th, 2018. Please contact me at nationalwaterdance.org. Well, go to www.nationalwaterdance.org and just put join us, push the button, and we'll get back to you. And you can become part of all of what we're doing. And we embrace your involvement.
And I love the fact that you have started to like getting into partnerships with organizations that do water work.
Yeah. And some people have... do that more than others. Some people make that connection deeply within their institutions, which is really great. Sometimes there's spin-offs that are really exciting to see, projects that people create apart from National Water Dance, but you know, sort of inspired by. So I love the idea that this can have, you know, so many multiple manifestations on its own.
Yeah, definitely. And did you, was there any... I saw different costumes. Did you give any input on the costumes, or that was up to each location?
That's totally up to each location, because we never want anyone to feel, excuse me, we don't want anyone to feel that they can't participate because they don't have access to costumes. So, that's just whatever happens, and it's fun to see. I mean, that one video. Group. It was in Erie, Pennsylvania. The dancer was wrapped in plastic bottles.
Oh.
Did you see that one?
I don't remember that one now at all.
Yeah, it's there. And it's, yeah, so there's all kinds of things. And then some people are just walking or, you know, dancing in their street clothes. But
yeah,
it's up to whatever the vision is and their resources.
Oh, wonderful. That's great. Yeah. I'm really excited about this. I've been looking at the website a lot and super excited about it.
Yeah, well, I'm so glad. I mean, I get overwhelmed, not overwhelmed. I mean, I feel this is why my reemerging choreographer status, because it's, you know, I mean, I could just live inside this because there's so much administration and it's very satisfying. But I have to keep coming back to the reason I did it is because I'm a dance artist, so I've got to find time for that as well.
So what is the rest of the future looking for, Dale, with the reemerging dance choreographer?
Okay, well, I'm actually working on a dance film. We filmed it. I have a place with my husband up in Maine, and it's mid-coast, it's on the Weskig River, which goes out to Penobscot Bay, and it's tidal. So the tide comes in 7 to 11 feet every day, twice a day. And when it goes out, it flats out. So it's mud, rich, beautiful mud.
Oh,
and
wow.
I did create a film there with two dancers a few years ago, but this time I'm moving in it and immerse myself in that entire environment, in the mud, in the seaweed, in the water as it comes back in. So we're working on editing that right now and trying to decide whether it is a film to sit and look at or an installation piece. So we're not sure. We're just in the editing phase right now.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Yeah, things like that.
There was an article going around yesterday called Antidepressant Microbes in Soil, How Dirt Makes You Happy. And it just made me think of you.
If you have it, I would love to see that.
I'll send it to you for sure, yeah.
Okay. No, I mean, it's amazing. I mean, you know, I would be lying there with my head on a rock and just watching the little crabs go scurrying around. And it's like, you know, I'm there. I'm just right. I'm not sitting up and watching this thing happen. I'm lying in their world with them. And it was, there's just such joy to completely surrender to mud. And this is beautiful, rich, deep mud, so you can sink in it.
Oh, wow, it sounds wonderful. I cannot wait to see it.
Yeah, it's one of those things that it just, you know, it feels so right that it's hard to understand when people look at you curiously. It's like, you don't understand. This is where we came from. This is like going home.